go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 114 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the Beeples Degenerate. The B-Man, it might be time that I give myself a new nickname. Yes, I already call myself the B-Man and the Beeples Degenerate, which is very off-putting when you speak to yourself in the third person. And maybe it's the fourth person, because talking to yourself in your nickname with multiple nicknames, that goes far beyond third person. So we might be on fifth person, and I might need to make it a hexagon, that sixth side. So a sixth person, because I need to get my nickname, a new nickname. I'm calling myself Mr. Negative. Let me explain why I'm calling myself Mr. Negative. When I scroll through Reddit looking for a post to discuss here at Verbal Graffiti in a sarcastic, laughable, lighthearted manner, I always find myself gravitating towards the downvoted comments. If you know anything about Reddit, the way it works is someone writes a post about whatever the topic, sports, trivia, movies, the Oscars, MLB baseball, whatever the topic may be, New York Yankees, that's a subreddit I go to very often. And then all the responses listed right under the post are the most upvoted comments. And then if you scroll all the way down where Mr. Negative hangs out, you'll see the downvoted comments related to the post, the original post. And those are the comments that I always find myself gravitating towards and agreeing with. Let me describe one specific post that irritated the B-Man, or shall I say irritated Mr. Negative, the B-Man, Brian Glass. It's a subreddit I've been frequenting more often the last month or so. I believe the name of the subreddit is Women Over 40, or Women Over the Age of 40. Very self-explanatory. It's old bags that have bypass the wall, as they call it. Again, I'm a 40-year-old man, so I have the wrinkles here, so I'm not pointing fingers at you on the other side of the wall, because I, too, am on the other side of that wall. Even though, to be man, I just got my passport renewed. That cost me $150. And yes, I am bitter about that cost. That's why I just told you how much the price was. So I had to go to Staples, got a photo of myself taken there. That's going to be used for my new passport. And passports, if you're an international traveler, which I am, I've been out of the United States once to Turks and Caicos, so that technically makes me an international traveler. You have to renew your passport every 10 years. So last time I got a passport was 2015, 2025. That's why I had to get all renewed. And I looked at the photo from 2015 when I was 30. I had a little bit of hair. It was a little out. A little bit of acne. Just a disheveled. It was almost looked like a DUI photo. I'm talking not just over a point, blowing over a 0.1 DUI. That's the photo. But then the more recent one, the one I took at Staples last week, clean cut, shaved head. They don't allow you to show your teeth. But I believe that I look more handsome, more masculine, more attractive, more dignified at the age of 40. The one I just took than the one when I was 30, that non-DUI, DUI, blowing a 0.1 photo for my passport. The photo, I took for this new one, it's a beauty. Maybe I'll show it here for all of you to see. Maybe I'm just trying to boost my self-esteem. I am doing dumbbells, trying to get my biceps gang going for summer. But I honestly, I don't think there's an agent, an international agent. I can go to any country. They're going to look at my photo. They're going to look at those genetics and go, I don't care what drugs you have up your asshole or inside your socks. Come into our country, China, Thailand, India, Norway, Mexico City, Latin America. I don't know the name of any of those countries. You got drugs. You got horse tranquilizers. Dude, those eyes, those eyebrows, come in. Come in. Fuck our women. Reproduce. We need your genetics in our country. What was I getting at here? All right. All right. Yeah. So I'm at this subreddit. I'm a post wall, and these ladies, women over the age of 40, post wall, and this babe, and I use that term loosely. I don't know her personally, but she wrote a post surmising that she's 40 years old. She just terminated her pregnancy, and then she goes into it. Now, you know, I've said many a time here that I'm not thrilled with abortions. You won't see me at an abortion rally. I know there's a cheesy joke saying, hey, go to abortion rally and you'll find a bunch of babes that have unprotected sex with, and you can give them cream pies and you don't have to worry about having a baby. But honestly, I believe, I believe having an abortion post first trimester is killing a baby. Again, this loose, who gives a fuck what the B-man thinks, right? Who gives a fuck what I think? Again, I don't think you should have to go to prison for an abortion, but you have to live with that burden. And, you know, that's a heavy burden to have to live with. That is, you know, that is the penalty for it. Anyways, this lady's 40. She said she had an abortion, and then she described the guy she had the abortion with, and it was a guy she's been dating casually, as they say in this culture, for 4 months. And then we find out later in her post that the guy had a daughter from a previous mother mama, that he was a deadbeat father. It wasn't involved in the other woman that he had a child with in his child's life. He's a deadbeat father. He just left that family behind. She painted this guy in a very negative light. You know, the black light that's come all over him. Just a nasty guy. No one wants to be part of him. And again, I agree. If you're going to be a deadbeat father, you are a terrible person. We all deserve, you know, to point the finger at you and say, hey, shame, shame, shame. Remember that scene? What's that? Game of Thrones. Anyway, yeah. When Cersei was walking down all naked. Shame, shame, shame. Did anyone else jerk off to that scene to be man? Let's move on. Anyway. So she was saying, she was describing the reason why she had the abortion. She has no kids, so she was kind of conflicted. Like, I want to have a kid. This might be my last opportunity. But the guy who impregnated me, I don't trust him to be in my child's life because he's already a deadbeat father once. You know, if he's deadbeat once, he'll probably be a deadbeat father twice. And I don't want to be raising a child alone without a father. So I decided to terminate the baby for that reason. Now, what irritated me about the post, and I read the replies, and I knew it irritated me, Mr. Negative, because I went back a couple days later, which I normally don't do, to see how the post is going, to see how the responders, how the conversation is evolving, how it's breathing, how it's expanding. And I noticed every post was very positive. Women, certain who were in similar situations, who also had an abortion or pregnancy scare, or, you know, just a situation with a bad guy not wanting to have the baby. And she was getting a lot of love from the Redditors. That's not what really bothered me. You know, your body, your choice, do you. I have opinions, but I'm not going to judge you for whatever the fuck you do, because, you know, we're just trying to have fun here at Verbal Graffiti. But what I noticed was there were a lot of posts that were deleted from the moderators of that subreddit, of which I don't know who they are, but I found it curious that there were no downvoted comments on the replies to this very sensitive topic, right? I mean, abortions, having a baby, have not, deadbeat fathers, baby mamas, a lot going on in this lady's life. And I know it, but there were no negative comments because I want to know what were the downvoted comments? What were those all about? But they were all deleted by the moderators. And I suspect that a lot of the downvoted comments that were deleted were probably thinking the same way Mr. Negative was thinking. And the way I was thinking when I originally read this post, and this is going to seem like it's like I lack empathy for this 40-year-old who had to terminate her baby. And maybe I do. But I do. Maybe the thing that bothered me the most about her post was the lack of accountability. And that is a part, that is something that is lacking in the current day culture in the United States of America. Am I running for office? Who the fuck knows? It just bothered me. It irritated me, Mr. Negative, that she didn't take any accountability for having sex with a deadbeat father. Like, she put all the blame on the deadbeat father. But there's, it takes two people to make a baby or the potential of a baby. Like you, the 40-year-old, over the wall, along with me, you were having consensual intercourse without protection, without birth control, without condoms, with a deadbeat father. You knew he was a deadbeat. And you still continue to have a casual relationship with this guy for 4 months. So you just got to take a little bit of accountability there, right? Yes, the guy, he's a scoundrel. He deserves the worst. He should have to pay child support. He should probably, yes, he should go to prison for not, being in his daughter's life. You also need to take some accountability for allowing this guy inside of yourself. And you let him come inside of you. Like, you let a deadbeat father, you actually more than let, you probably enjoyed having this terrible guy, this cream pie, the walls of your vagina. You were enthralled with it when it was going well, but once there was a pregnancy, you pointed the finger at him, the deadbeat, but you didn't point at yourself. And that's what irritates me. I don't really know what's funny about that, but sometimes it's the irritation, right? It's what angers you that's funny. That's actually why I enjoy watching stand-up comedy, is because the comedians on stage will always say something. And they'll talk about a topic or tell a joke, and it will eat it just instantly. I'll go from having a good night laughing, yucking it up, and they'll say something, and I'm immediately like, don't like that. Don't like that. And it's that sensation, that feeling of it. Did that anger anybody else? Did that just ruin anybody's day? Like that feeling, just having some feeling, because I'm a very even keel guy. So when I get that, when I'm watching stand up or I'm reading a Reddit post, and I'm angry scrolling and I'm looking through it, I'm like, wait, does anyone have my opinion? And nobody, none of the responses were, hey, maybe you shouldn't have been fucking a deadbeat father. Huh? Maybe if you want to have a child with a guy who's going to love you and this, your son or daughter or transsexual, whoever the fuck kind of baby you have, Down syndrome, whatever type of baby you have, you want a loving family, don't have unprotected sex with a deadbeat father. Let's move on. Ooh, I'm feeling it today. Episode 114, Verbal Graffiti. What should I do? Subreddit. Should I, male, 29, pursue relationship with former student, female, 23, nice. I, student, teach 4. Ooh, drama. So, If I was a current teacher or had ever been around that long, this would be out of the question, would it? I tried to be a teacher right before the pandemic, decided it wasn't for me. Now I'm totally in a different industry. Student taught at high school for 3 months and quit shortly after. Was out with some friends recently and girl walked up to me. She said she remembered who I was and we started talking. She thought I was cute back then and gave me her number. Lucky you. I went on a date. So far, it was great. Really interested to see where it goes. Question myself, though, if I should continue this. Is it flirting with being gross? No, this is not gross at all. Now, remember to use protection. Make sure there's some type of birth control. And if you do impregnate this former student of yours, remember not to be a deadbeat and be involved in a child's life. All right. Now, what you need to do, the B-man, Mr. Negative, the people's degenerate. You know where my stance is going. What I'm going to say is dick her down. Dick your former student down and be discreet about it. And after you're discreet, dicking her, your former student, down, move on. Do not try to start a relationship with her. Now, let me give you some context. B-man, I was similar to this John right here who posts, I was a student teacher. I student taught an entire semester. I have a teaching certification. I let it go because I didn't want to. No school district would hire me. I went on 25 interviews in person and went 0 for 25. High school principals took one look at the B-man and said, we ain't letting you in our school full time. So I was a substitute teacher for a number of years. So I have been in this predicament. Not as lucky as you, though. I have been out in the same town that I was a student taught at. And there were times, lots of times, where former students, boys and girls, would come, hey, Mr. Glass, remember? And it'd be a little awkward. They'd be like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm kind of a drunk. That's why I was a substitute and not a real teacher. Anyway, I know a lot of teachers in my life. My brother used to be a teacher. He was a science teacher. And I believe he was a high school teacher. So his high school, which I will not disclose because his life's going pretty well, so I don't want to ruin it. But he did not have sex with any students that I know of. But the school he taught at, there was a rule, like in the teacher hand guide, the employment book, that said you were not allowed to have a sexual relationship with a current student or former student up to 5 years out of high school. So once you graduate high school, you have to wait 5 years before you can have, you know, a romantic relationship with a former student or a student that was at the school that high school. Now, that makes me believe that if that was in writing, that you had to wait 5 years post-student graduating to get into a relationship with a former student, that there were teachers who were having intercourse with students right after they walked across the stage with their cap and gown and graduated. So that's why that rule was put in place. Also, when my brother taught, there was a teacher, not my brother, but another teacher who got caught having sex with a high school senior and he got fired. And of course, he was a gym teacher. My oldest sister is a teacher, currently a high school teacher. And a few years ago, there was a teacher at her school who had an inappropriate relationship with a current student. And of course, that teacher got fired. When I was in high school, the year after I graduated, there was a Spanish teacher who fucked a student and the janitor caught them and she got kicked out and had moved to a different district. When I was working, the B-man, I've had a lot of odd jobs. I used to work at Quinnipiac University. I worked at the Polling Institute there. And there were a lot of people. It was an odd, weird job because there were a lot of just regular adults using it as a second job to make some extra income. But there were also students at Quinnipiac University who worked at the Polling Institute at the university as a work study program. And I remember once I was seated next to a Quinnipiac student. I must have been, I don't know, maybe 27, 28 at the time. And we were just talking to pass the time. And she had told me that, again, she was a Quinnipiac student. She told me 2 weeks after she graduated high school, she had sex with her high school track coach. I say all of these situations to bring up a theory that I have, Mr. Negative. And my theory is that at 75% of high schools in the United States, there is an inappropriate relationship currently being had between a teacher and a student. And obviously, that's wrong. That should not be happening. I do believe that professors, once you hit college, students and professors should be allowed to have intercourse and relationships if they want. But high school and below, or, you know, middle school, elementary, absolutely not. I bring this all up to say that I don't believe you. I do not believe if you were still teaching and this student came up to you post-graduation, absolutely, you'd have sex with her and try to pursue a relationship with her. And I also bring this all up to say your current predicament, PG-13. PG-13 rated. I just explained 4 or 5 situations where there were actual like teachers having inappropriate relationships with current students. Now you're a handsome 29-year-old guy. You're no longer in the teaching profession. This former student is 23, no longer a student. The age gap between the two of you is what, 5 or 6 years? So that's no big deal. So there's nothing illegal about what you did going on a date with this former student of yours. The only thing you have to worry about is your reputation. And now if you live in a small community, that's why I say be discreet. Because if you live in a small community, all those bags that are post the wall, the soccer moms with the wrinkles and the bags under the eyes, they're going to talk shit about you and they're going to look down and they're going to try to besmirch your reputation. But fuck them. Who cares about what they think about you? But what I originally said, you got to dick her down. And you got to, you can't just give her a regular, your former student that is. You can't give her a regular Pornhub dicking down. You got to give her an epic, a marathon session, a dick her down that makes her have to be on a ventilator. And you have to, and she has to go straight from your apartment, your studio apartment, to CVS to get ibuprofen and Plan B. You got to dick her down so hard, so iconic, so memorable. And the reason why you got to do that is because this former student of yours, she's going to talk to other former students of hers that are friends of hers that you were student teaching back when you were had the visions of becoming a teacher. And I say all this because if she reports back and she has a very positive report of your dicking down, you might notice that you'll get some more former students sliding into your TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat DMs. It all goes down in the DMs. So if you dick down this girl, former student, iconically, right, and make her have to, you know, put a bag of peas between her legs for 48 hours to recover, there might be a lot of former students from 5 or 6 years ago who are going to be knocking on your DMs asking, hey, what are you doing this weekend? What bar are you going to? I heard you're a fun guy. And you can just, you'll have poons coming to you 5, 6 years younger. But again, be discreet. Now, what I'm worried about as I pick my nose, sorry, I did not do cocaine today, nor have I ever. This is a once and done, you're one and done, dick down, epic, and move on. That's what I'm worried about, because you already went on one date that you describe as being great. You're already considering a second date, asking us on Reddit what we think about the situation. In your mind, you're not thinking one and done. You're thinking, maybe I could get in a relationship with this lady. I could feel it in my scrotum. In your mind, you're thinking, wow, we had a date. Maybe we'll have kids. Maybe we'll grow up in the same neighborhood that I taught at. And our kids will at school, and I'll be involved in PTA. And then the elementary school principal will ask us, like, hey, how did you and your wife meet? And you two will chuckle. You'll be like, oh, well, actually, I taught her. Can you believe that? You don't want any of that. You do not want any of that. The longer you date this former student, the more the shit can hit the fan. Because she doesn't want a relationship. She just got a kink, right? Babes, they like... They're attracted to things they can't have, as are us Johns. But it's fun. Ooh, a former teacher, like, that's kind of sexy. For her, it's a notch that she's checking. She's in the prime of her sexual being, 23 years old. She's just doing it for the story. She's not out here for love, and you're thinking love, but you need to be where her mind is at and dick her down for the story. Again, you're 29. You have ladies sliding you their number at the bar. So obviously you're handsome. You got your shit together. So this is a one-off. Laugh about it. You can tell this story with your boys at bachelor parties years from now. But do not linger. Right? There is no loitering with former students. Dick her down epically and be done with it. Let's go look at some photos. Episode 114, segment 2. Did I lose some of you with the opening of that first segment? If I did, just know that the B-man, the newly proclaimed Mr. Negative, that I am a hypocrite. And there's something very liberating about openly admitting that you are a hypocrite, that you are a racist, that you are a sexist, that you are a misogynist, that you are any of the ist. Because once you openly admit that you are, you can freely criticize others without fear of that person you're critical of pointing their finger at you. Because when they do so, you can raise your hand and go, yeah, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a misogynist. Like, what did you expect? I told you I was that. So you can't be upset when I am. It's very similar. Now, I am not this guy, but there are guys, the Chads, the guys who will go out with a babe, and on the first date, they'll say, yeah, I've cheated on every babe I've ever been with, which I have not. But those guys who say that, it's almost... They think in their heads that, well, if I tell this babe that I've cheated on every babe in my past, well, that gives me license to cheat on you because I was open about it. It's like, no, that's not how it works. But when you're, where am I going with this? I guess that kind of discredits what I said. So if I'm a hypocrite, that doesn't mean I'm allowed to be a hypocrite because I say it. Like, it doesn't cleanse me of being one. But anyways, I am. I'm that person. I am a hypocrite. I don't know. I have fun. I have fun pointing the finger, being critical of other people in a sarcastic. Again, this is a fun-loving, smut show. So don't take anything I say too seriously. We're doing it for the chuckles. We're doing it for the laughs. We're doing it for the yuck-yucks. We're doing it for the giggles. We're doing it for the what do people do when they snort? No, not snort. What is that? It's not snort. You snort cocaine, which is my second reference this episode, which is too many for a guy who does not snort or sniff cocaine. Where was I going? Oh, we're just having fun. Let's keep it moving, right? Lighthearted. We went long in that first segment. Let's get into the second segment. Found this on the subreddit Punk. All right? Not CM Punk. Punk. Coming back to my punk roots. If I can add any positive to the hellscape that is currently forming in North America, it's that I'm coming back to my roots. I grew up with an older brother who was punk, I too grew up with the movement. Went to shows, danced in mosh pits, getting elbowed in the face, enjoying walking around our city, getting weird looks. This was back in the 90s. Although my outside appearance has changed, my punk mentality has never changed in my music choices. And with the state of current affairs, I have never felt more aligned with the movement. I look forward to coming out of retirement, so to speak, and giving them hell. I have kids now, and I'll be fucked if I don't go down swinging. Nope, I don't. It's impossible for you to go back to being punk. Once you have a mortgage, once you have healthcare, once you reproduce, once you have a house, once you have a mid-size SUV, once you're married, once you have investments, once you have things to lose that you've accrued over the years to make your that makes your life easier to live. It gives you some buffer of security. You're no longer punk. So for you to tell me that you're going back to your roots of being punk, that's an impossibility. You cannot go back to being punk because the way you're living your life now as a father is the polar opposite of punk. You cannot be punk when you have a 401k, a Roth IRA, and a mortgage with an interest rate of 3.2%. Yeah, how can... The only thing more pathetic than seeing an elderly punk rock band in their 50s, think Green Day, just jamming it out on stage at a festival. The only thing more pathetic than them, those bands in their 50s, still trying to relive their youth, is a father with a mohawk, with red tips, bringing his son to his Little League baseball game. Grow the fuck up. You want to listen to the music? Fine. Punk music is fun. All right, I get it. Like, I enjoy a punk music every once in a while. I'm more emo punk. I'm not sure if that counts. I'm a Taking Back Sunday, The Used. What are some the Taking Back Sunday, The Used, Movie Life, the Story of the Year, Sugar Cult, those early 90s emo rock bands. That's where I was at. But I enjoyed a Block Party. I'm not sure if that's punk. That's more like British, like electronic. I'm not a music guy. I listen to music, but I am not a music guy. I listen to the beats, but this ain't about me. This is about you. It's okay. As a father, as a has-been, right, to be an old bag past the wall, a theme for this episode. It's okay to listen to the music with your headphones on, with the earbuds in your office. It's okay to do that, right? Because there's no better music than the music of your youth. But when you try to make that your identity as a has-been, as a father, as a former punk lover, like that's where you become pathetic. Now, if you're a father and you decide, oh, I'm coming out of retirement, so I'm going to wear the fake leather jacket with the fake spikes, and you're going to wear your Levi jeans and put patches of the Ramones all up and down the jeans, everybody in your community is going to look at you like it's a Halloween costume. They're not going to look at you like you're an actual punk. Like, if you do what you say you're going to do, which is come out of retirement, which is such an embarrassing way to describe it. Oh, yeah, I'm going back to my roots, going back to the punk concert. Let's say you do that. Let's say you do that, sir. Let's say you dress up all punk and you go to watch some garage band composed of all high schoolers, all the real punk people there, all the youngins, all the people who have yet to retire from punk, they're going to look at you like a poser. And as a punk guy, There is nothing worse in this universe than a poser. And that's what you would be. I got to quit with the pointing. My apologies for all the pointing this episode. But you understand that you're playing dress up. If you really want to go back to being punk, you gotta live the punk lifestyle. You gotta give up everything you've accrued since 9/11. All right, you gotta give up your SUV. You gotta give up your house. You gotta give up your children. You gotta give up your wife. You gotta give up your membership at the country club. You gotta give it all up. Right, you have to have nothing. You got to live out of a tent. If you do that, then you can go to the punk concert, jump in the mosh pit, and elbow the fuck out of all those teenagers. Just elbow them. And then you could walk to the diner afterwards and laugh about it, the battle scars with all the other punksters that are there. But if you don't give everything up, Everything you've gained monetarily the last 20 or 30 years, you cannot come out of retirement because that makes you a poser. And nobody who's real punk likes a poser. There's nothing worse than a poser. There is nothing worse than being a poser. As for the second half of your post talking about North America going to shit, the price of eggs, tariffs, all the craziness that's going on in the world. And that's something that's always, it's never sat well with me. Like people who listen to punk music thinking that it's a political music. I've always been of the side of, no, it's about the music. If punk were a political movement, then there would be a get out the vote at every single punk concert. And all the punk concerts I went to when I was younger, I never saw a get out the vote. Like if you want to make a political statement, like going to a garage band concert in some VFW hall, you think that's going to stop the global elite's agenda? You think all the lizard people and Nancy Pelosi and Trump, you think mosh pitting with all the leather jacket guys and gals with the neon colored hair, you think that's going to stop their agenda? Fuck no, it ain't gonna do shit. If you wanna make punk music political, you wanna rage against the machine, just go to be a nerd. Be a nerd and go to a political rally with a sign at DC in front of the White House or wherever the fuck they have them. You know, I'm starting to question whether you were ever really punk. Maybe your older brother was, but I suspect you were not. Just your whole post, I'm getting a vibe, all right? I'm getting a vibe that you were never punk. The thing was, you were never an athlete. So you were, in high school, you were the quintessential dweeb. You had no group, so you attached yourself to the punk kids, skirmering around the neighborhood, the community, getting weird looks. That you attach yourself to them so that you could have an identity. But in reality, at your core, you're a dweeb. And now you're an adult dweeb who's angry with the price of eggs. So, yeah, I hope you go to this punk concert and everyone thinks you're a poser, sees you for the poser you are, and elbows you and puts you in a coma for 5 years. Moving along. We're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are on the top of page, I think it's 95. My apologies. No, we're top of page 97. We will read two pages together aloud. Yeah, he said in a low voice. My apologies. Let me say that in a low voice. Yeah, he said in a low voice. Inwardly, however, he was disturbed. For immediately after his climax, he had once again had a vision of Pamela, and once again came the unshakable conviction that she was in trouble, that she needed him badly. Stella turned and noticed his mind was far away. She had vividly been aware that there was a moment during their wild fucking when his mind had wandered elsewhere, and she didn't like it. "What's the matter?" she asked. "Oh, nothing, nothing," he replied evasively. "Guess I'll get going now." Stella sat up, amazed. going, but I thought you were going to stay the night. Like you said before you left, I thought, yeah, I know I said that, but I'm a little behind schedule and maybe... The voluptuous blonde got up from the floor and went to find a cigarette. It's your wife, isn't it? She said flatly. You want to run home to her? Alan glanced at her coldly. She had guessed what was in the back of his mind. I guess you could say that, he said. But he was troubled by Stella's crudeness and the slow realization that he had been cheating on his wife. Only a month after marriage. Go on, she snapped curtly. Go back to that little bitch. See if I care. Hey, watch your language, he responded angrily. I don't want you talking about my wife like that. Huh? She said contemptuously. Some nerve. After the way you've been cheating on her, where do you get off treating me like this? Without a word, Alan rose and hastily began to dress. Say, the blonde said in a softer voice, I didn't mean that. Honest, please. Don't go yet. We could have a real good time tonight. It's been a long time since a nice guy stayed all night with me. Please? As Alan looked at her, he felt sorry for the girl, for there was a desperation in her eyes he had never seen before. Yet he knew he had to go. He had to find out if his wife was all right. I can't, he said. I'm so sorry. Don't be sorry, she replied, suddenly dropping her vulnerable attitude. Go on. Get out. Alan finished dressing quickly and went to the door. For a moment, they exchanged glances, and he almost thought he saw tears forming in the corner of the waitress's eyes. It's been real nice, he said. Yeah, she said coldly. Real nice. Go suck a fat one.